He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Like my father before me, I'm a working man. And like my brother before me, I took a rebel stand. Well, he was just 18, proud and brave. But a Yankee laid him in his grave. I swear by the blood below my feet, you can't raise a cane back up when it's in defeat. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na.
Today's the day they drove old Dixie down. The state troopers in Charleston, South Carolina, marching toward the flagpole where the, to some noxious symbol of the Confederacy, the Confederate battle flag, is about to be removed from the State House grounds. I have to tell you, in a nation where division and discord often dominates the news, I have to confess to you that I'm feeling almost giddy about South Carolina's collective decision to take down the Confederate battle flag that has flown defiantly on the grounds of the state capitol for half a century. I mean, some people think that it's flown since the Civil War. That's not true. It's only since 1961 when they put it up, really in reaction to the civil rights movement. It was put up as kind of an odious symbol of defiance. I mean, I say that and I hesitate to add that this is a wonderful gesture by people, many of whom are very, very sincerely motivated, that had never a racist bone in their bodies. But when you heard that Republican legislator, as we watched them approaching the flagpole, Jenny Anderson Horn, my goodness, this was one of the most emotional moments probably in the history of South Carolina politics. Listen to Jenny.
If any of you vote to amend, you are ensuring that this flag will fly beyond Friday. And for the widow of Senator Pinckney and his two young daughters, that would be adding insult to injury.
I love that lady. And I have to tell you, the bipartisan, multiracial, overwhelming vote to take down without amendments, to agree to take down and now to actually be taking down the symbol of the Confederacy, is a vivid declaration of a couple of things I have to mention. First of all, and most importantly, Black Lives Matter. And so do Black feelings. Hear the flag coming down. You can hear the crowd. It was the massacre by that avowed battle flag waving racist of the nine martyrs at the Bible study group at the Mother Emanuel AME Church that made the flag an enduring insult to the victims' families, the entire community. Now the flag is down. The flag is down. I mean, there's no doubt, and this is the point I wanted to make, that the symbol undeniably represented heritage and history to some sincere South Carolinians. But likewise, it is just as undeniable that the flag came to represent to other folks a cruel world in which African Americans were subjugated, used, and abused. Now the battle flag is down. It's being folded by the state troopers en route to the museum where it belonged. So bravo, South Carolina. Bravo for your decision to sacrifice your symbol. By this action, you have eased the pain of the church slaughter by comforting the victims and demonstrating that love can triumph over hate. This action will not end racism, But it is a step in the right direction. And I have to tell you, on this Friday, on this sunny, beautiful summer Friday, this is a noble example from our brothers and sisters in South Carolina of how folks of goodwill can come together to do the right thing. I have chills now watching as they roll up the flag, which will be transported to a special van to that museum. Black folks, white folks, standing shoulder to shoulder in that crowd. It is just really a wonderful thing to see people coming together. I don't have that same good vibe over my friend Donald Trump's surge in the polls, in the presidential polls. And this is what I want to hear from y'all. I'll hear from you on the flag as well if you want to talk about that. I think that now this flag has fluttered its last on public ground in South Carolina. But if you want to talk about it, I will. My problem with Donald surfing this wave of newfound popularity is that he is riding the anger and frustration over illegal immigration to the front of the GOP pack. Now, his performance so far, shocking to many establishment pundits, shouldn't be to listeners of this program or people who read my Facebook postings or my Geraldo.com columns. I discovered during the quality time that the tycoon and I have spent together on and off the air that Donald Trump is an extremely competent, immeasurably confident man. He's a force of nature, and his enduring success in real estate and on television and in the other areas, even on the golf course, you should see the guy play golf. That enduring success is no accident. He's a quality person. But his challenge now is to harness his initial voter appeal and move away from people who are disgruntled and angry and frustrated over criminal aliens and give us some specific proposals to fix what he thinks ails this nation. At some point, going back to the anger and frustration over criminal aliens, specifically this horrible murder in San Francisco, is the fact that at some point, facts will trump emotion. Trump, get it? Trump emotion. The fact is, the vast majority of undocumented immigrants, as I have been arguing until I'm blue in the face with my colleagues at Fox News and with Ann Coulter specifically, the fact is that the vast majority of undocumented immigrants are otherwise law-abiding, hardworking, the sort of folks that America has long harnessed to make this nation great. Of course, as Donald Trump suggests, we need control of our borders. We need secure borders. Every sovereign nation needs secure borders. But we also need compassion and common sense. And that's what I need to hear now from Donald Trump. Play a cut. We have Donald has been doing lots of interviews. He did one last night with my friend and colleague, Sean Hannity. Before I get to your calls at 866-HERALDO, and I see they're coming in spades, let's listen to the Donald last night.
We have stupid leaders. We have a stupid group of people at the top, and they allow things like this to happen. That girl should be alive.
Absolutely.
The young man's son should be alive right now.
All right, that's Donald talking, obviously, about the death of Katie Steinle, the 32-year-old, lovely, innocent, talented, wonderful person shot in the back by this scumdog, undocumented immigrant who had been jailed three times for a felony reentry, did almost 15 years for trying to sneak back into the country. Here's more Trump.
Hillary Clinton believes that sanctuary cities can help further public safety. And we have 300 cities that will not give up to federal officials those people that have broken American law and not respected American sovereignty. What's your answer to Hillary Clinton?
It's inconceivable. And what happened is they have pollsters. She has pollsters working for her that say you have to do this in order to beat Bernie Sanders. Who would have thought this was going to happen with Bernie Sanders? You looked at him, you say, how does this guy end up like he's ending up? It's incredible that somebody can think that way.
All right, that's Trump talking about San Francisco, like New York City, being a sanctuary city, which means that if you are otherwise in local custody and you've committed no apparent crime, there's not a warrant out for your arrest, then the local authorities let you go. They don't turn you over, regardless of your status, your immigration status, to the federal authorities for deportation. The reasoning here, really, Rudy Giuliani, who's coming on at 10:30, helped craft this program. The reason for the sanctuary city aspect of municipal life in San Francisco as here is that they don't want undocumented immigrants to be afraid of calling the cops when necessary as victims of crimes. So it makes sense. But in this case, with this scum dog in San Francisco with a record as long as his arm, violent crimes, this guy had no business being out on the street, period. He should have been in jail or in Mexico. No doubt somebody screwed up big time. But you don't make national policy based on one screw up. And the vast majority, I'll tell you again and again, the Washington Post the day before yesterday surveyed all of the polls, and they came to the undeniable conclusion that the undocumented population commits fewer crimes, in some cases far fewer crimes, than the citizens in this country. We can't let one horrible example make us forge a policy that doesn't make sense. That's where Donald now has to make a turn from anger, tapping into the frustration, into policy. I see your calls. They are terrific. I am sure it's going to be a spirited couple of hours. Rudy Giuliani will be joining me at 10:35. At 11, we've got Guns Gunzelman, the ace sportscaster, and the assets like Rick Leventhal, the fine reporter from Fox News, from the scene of the historic ticker tape parade that's happening in the Canyon of Heroes downtown. So we'll be there. We're here, we're there, we're everywhere.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Fabulous Patti LuPone. I've loved her since Evita. Yesterday she walked off the stage and snatched a cell phone from the hands of an audience member texting right in front of her. In the middle of the performance, she leaves the stage, walks up to the dude, snatches his phone. Got a bunch of bravos from theatergoers. I mean, give me a break. You go to Broadway and you text. I was at a great Toloachi, a great Mexican restaurant. I saw this couple having a romantic dinner, and they're sitting across from each other, like a foot and a half apart, and they're both texting. I mean, it's, I don't know. All right, so we have a lot to talk about. Donald Trump. Rudy Giuliani on Donald Trump and other issues coming up in about 10 minutes. Your calls right now, 866-RELLA. We'll start with Jay in New Jersey. What's up, Jay? What's on your mind? Thanks for calling. Hello, Jay? No Jay? Hello, Jim. What's up, Jim?
Hello.
Hi, Jim. You're on. What are you thinking about today?
Hey, Geraldo, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. Listen, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, my thought process on him, the reason why he starts getting this leap fraud effect is because people want someone who stands up and says how they truly feel, not just flip-flops when there's resistance just to get votes. I mean, do you really want another politician like Obama, Clinton, who in one election says they're for immigration because they know the votes are that way? Another election, they say they're against immigration. Then they're for gay marriage. Then they're against gay marriage. Let him say what he has to say. how he truly feels, and then let the voters decide. I understand it's a soft issue with you, so then just don't vote for him. Why do we want another guy in office who says one thing and does another?
Okay, Jim, got it. I think that is the source. I think you hit the nail right on the head of much of his appeal. And this survey in the Economist YouGov poll, preferred GOP nominee for president, number one, Donald Trump with 15 as the first choice. He also gets 12 as the second choice. Number two is Jeb Bush with 11. So Trump's 15, Jeb Bush 11. Jeb Bush second choice to 7%. So Donald Trump second choice to 12, Jeb to just 7. So Donald Trump scoring big time in this poll that is an incendiary poll. My goodness, here is Donald Trump far and away number one among preferred GOP candidates for the nomination. Here's Jared in Brooklyn. What's up, Jared? Hello, Jared. Come on, guys, stay by the phone. Here's Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat? All right. Here's Ferris in Connecticut. What are you thinking about, Ferris? Is this phone working? These phones. We lost the... Yeah, got to reboot. I'm closing my booty. Going to reboot this. We're going to get this together because a lot of the calls, I don't know, frustrated that we've lost them because there are a lot of very, very impassioned folks. All right, now Jay. Jay, you on now? All right, we're rebooting. All right, I get your calls. They're coming in. 866 Geraldo. Sorry about this. Okay, so we got a lot of ground to cover. The Trump surge is certainly foremost on the minds of anybody interested in politics. The ticker tape parade downtown, which commences in about a half hour, certainly central to anyone who is interested in the sports equality, anybody with the border. And I've got three very, very interested and watching with tremendous admiration the women's soccer team, World Cup champions, the best on the entire planet. And we're still reacting to the historic decision and now the implementation of that decision to take down the Confederate battle flag. A lot going on. 866 Geraldo. We'll be back. Guided us through the glory years. The end of the 90s up until the end of 2001. His firm, compassionate hand, making New York City the safest big city on earth. Prior to that, when he was U.S. Attorney, he helped craft the sensible sanctuary city policy here in New York that is now under fire for the way it was implemented in San Francisco to the extent that it caused such heartache with the release of this one scumdog murderer who killed the Katie Steinle, the 32-year-old innocent, wonderful person. But he can explain that. He could also, I think, explain Rudy can, Mayor Giuliani can, the surge Donald Trump is currently enjoying. We welcome the mayor to the program. How you doing, Mayor? Hello, Mayor. Oh, no. I've had very little success with the telephones here. Is Marty, is he there? Or is it the phone system? All right. So his line, when he gets here, he gets here. But, okay. So the poll. Let me start with the poll. Let me regroup and start with the poll. We'll get all these technical glitches worked out. Hopefully you'll be hearing from the mayor sooner rather than later. And hopefully we'll be able to get the reports from downtown with the ticker tape parade. But to get this so far disaster of a Friday program, I started so cheerful. And then the thing's going to hell in a handbasket. But I am I want to go back to what I was saying about Donald Trump and his enviable surge in the polls. I really do think that what Donald is doing is riding, and you heard it in the one call that we did manage before the system crashed on me. From the audience, we're getting nothing. All right, we have no phone. Somebody from the rival station, I think, cut our phone line. So I'll tell you when to start calling. Don't call right now. Let us get this thing straightened out. But what Trump is doing, I think, and you know, you see me fighting with my colleagues and with Ann Coulter on the air on Fox News. What Donald is doing is really surfing this wave of anger and frustration. People are crazed in some ways about illegal immigration to the exclusion of other issues like the economy and foreign affairs. I mean, issues that historically have proven so resilient and resonated so profoundly with voters now are secondary to this visceral reaction we're having to undocumented immigrants. Why is it that we respond so emotionally to a crime like this San Francisco crime? Horrible, horrible, horrible crime. And it never should have happened. And this guy never should have been on the streets. He should have been in jail or in Mexico. But why do we respond to that particular atrocity in a way that far exceeds our reaction to the kind of homicides we've seen here in New York or in a place like Baltimore, where there have been 10 murders since this young lady died a week ago, with very little response by almost anybody? Okay, we've established communication with the mayor now. How you doing, Mayor?
How are you, Geraldo?
Oh, I've been kind of frustrated. My phone's crapped out on me. But you want to say something before we get into the heavy stuff about the women's soccer team and the ticker tape
parade? Oh, isn't that wonderful? I thought it was absolutely terrific. I mean, you know, it reminds me a little of 1980 when we were down in the dumps over the Iranian hostages and the attack of Russia on Afghanistan and all that other stuff. And we had an administration that seemed somewhat feckless. And all of a sudden, everybody got reminded of why we love being Americans. And I think those women did that for us.
And how about women's sports? You think
I think
a great sports fan you are.
Sports on the map. I mean, I love watching women's softball and you know, I have a daughter and I call her a bonus daughter, you know, Judah's daughter, and both of them are excellent athletes. Whitney is a terrific swimmer, and Caroline's a terrific basketball player. She used to have to play with her brother. He used to beat the heck out of her on the, you know. She'd have to go over his big body, and she figured out how to do an outside shot, because that's the only way she could keep up with him. So she has a great outside shot.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, now when you say she throws like a girl, it's like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, I love that. Throws like a girl. Yeah, some of those girls would strike me out with no problem.
No problem at all. All right, so talk about Donald and the surge. I mean, you see the Economist poll, he's number one.
You and I think, look at this somewhat alike from what I've heard you say.
And the same with
you,
I agree.
We both... I like and respect Donald, and I've had a 25-year friendship with him, and nothing is going to affect that, because I know how good Donald can be, and how philanthropic he is, and all the good things he's done for people, many things people don't even know about. I believe he said it backwards. I think he said the statement backwards. And he sort of conceded that last night, although we know he has, you know, he's a tough guy. He's got a stubborn streak. Most of the people who come in to the United States over the southwest border, which is 2,000 miles, a little less than 2,000 miles, are people who are coming for the purpose of work. They are coming for the reasons my grandfather Rodolfo left Italy. My other grandfather Louis left Italy. They couldn't make enough money in Italy, and they had to make money for their families in New York. and they used to send money back, just the way Mexicans do now. And then my grandfather went back and got his two sisters and brought them here, and they established themselves in the Lower East Side and then in East Harlem and in Brooklyn and various places. So they're coming over the border. They are committing a violation in doing it. But they're not committing murder. They're not committing theft. They're not committing drug dealing. And what you learn as a prosecutor is there are grades of crimes. After all, you know, speeding is an offense. You get a ticket for it, right? It can even be a misdemeanor under certain circumstances. So this is the level we're talking about in terms of their so-called criminality. Now, unless the law has changed, and I'm going to have to go look, when I was United States attorney and in charge of immigration, it was not a crime for a person to come over the border illegally. It was a civil violation. If you file false papers to come over, that was a crime. But the mere act of coming across the border was a civil violation, and that created a lot of the difficulties because they can't be put in a regular prison. They got to be put in a detention facility for people who are here illegally, and the word illegally suggests criminality. So he should have explained all of that, and also that they're necessary to some of our economy.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, they do a lot of dirty jobs.
I'll give you an example. Schwarzenegger cut off the border in California, and every one of the farmers in the Central Valley of California and all the Napa Valley grape people came to see him and said, "Hey, you want California wine this year? Open the border, baby, because if you don't, we're gonna go bankrupt." So that's part one. Part two is, if they can come over without detection, which they can, then bad people can come over with them, in between them, around them. And that's the problem. And there are a number of them that are. Certainly not a majority, certainly not overwhelming, but some pretty damn dangerous people. Murderers, rapists, the kinds of people he was talking about. And they have committed some pretty horrendous crimes. And there is no reason to have a border that is not secure. And what we should have done a long time ago, and it is frustrating as heck that we don't, is create a border security situation in which you can't get in illegally.
But why don't people agree with that? No one I know disagrees with the need of the nation to have a secure border.
I went on O'Reilly the other night and showed him my map, which I'm happy to show you. I drew this map in 2007 when I was running for president. I have a plan for how to do it. You put a border patrol station every 40 miles, approximately, depending on terrain, on the border. You assign 500 border patrol agents to each one of those stations. So no station is further than 20 miles from any border point. You basically have camera equipment, and you stop people from coming in. And you show them, you give them the documents they would need to come in legally. You hand it to them. Say, go back to wherever you come from, and there's a consul general there. And if you're coming in to work up on, you know, Joe's farm in Napa or somebody else's farm in Texas, you're going to be able to come in 2 or 3 days. But just go, fill out the form, get your picture taken, get fingerprinted so we know who you are. And stop illegal entry and make legal entry reasonably easy.
I'm with that. Before I lose time, what's Trump doing that you didn't do in your race for the nomination? Why is he being so successful at this stage?
Well, you, at this stage in my race, I was ahead by 5 points.
Before the first primary,
I was ahead. I was ahead for something like 6 or 7 consecutive. I was ahead probably from about the time John McCain's campaign fell apart, which would have been in February, March, until about October, and then I started to fall behind. as my opponents made it clearer and clearer that I was pro-choice, pro-gay rights. You know, when they got enough money to do ads like that, the Republican appeal for me was that I was very strong on national security, which I am, and I had a record that was, from the Republican conservative point of view, superb. I mean, I cut taxes by $3 billion in a state, in a place that never cut taxes. I brought in 400,000 jobs. I cut unemployment in half. I cut regulations down. I got 600 million people off welfare when nobody thought it could be done. And I reduced crime by 62%.
So what happened?
What happened is the pro-choice designation started to erode my numbers. The pro-gay rights thing really started to erode my numbers because I was the first or second mayor in America to recognize civil unions because I thought they were fair. I would not back off those positions, even though I got tremendous heavy pressure to do it. And you remember Romney did.
So will Trump similarly lose the luster when people start looking behind?
I don't know what's out there, you know, to get in his way. I also was pro-immigration, and that also hurt me. I am.
You sound like a Geraldo Republican.
After I finished that whole explanation about, I mean, there'd be nobody better in this country for securing our border than me. If you can reduce crime in New York City by 60%, you can stop illegals from coming into the United States. It's easier to do, and we'd have a CompStat system for it, and we could do it. It'd take 2 years, and we can do it. However, I do believe once that happens, and the American people have calmed down, that we're not going to have a repeat of 1986, 1987 when we theoretically we're going to close the border. Then I take the 12, 15, 20, 30, whatever the number of people that are here, and I separate the good from the bad. And the good go on a road to citizenship. Citizenship. Now, boy, that gets a lot of people.
A lot of people. Mayor, I'm out of time. I'm way over time, in fact. It's always a delight to talk to you. I appreciate you.
I can come back anytime you want.
Okay.
We can talk about this. This is something that the American people need, education.
I totally agree. Let's do it next week.
Beyond soundbite.
Have a great weekend. The ticker tape is about to be tossed, tons and tons of it, to celebrate the victory of the women's team in the World Cup soccer match. So we'll be live down there. Guns is there. So is Rick Leventhal, my colleague at Fox News. Tom, Ralph, Pat, Sebastian, Sarah, and Donna. Be patient. We're coming to you. Thank you for calling 866-HERALDO. We shall return right after the news break. Stand by. The champions of the world. The city now honoring the U.S. women's soccer team with the parade along the Canyon of Heroes and in the thousands lining the streets of Lower Broadway. Our own Guns Gunzelman joins us. Guns, what's going on? Give us a feel for the thing.
Well, I'm at the beginning of Broadway, the beginning of the Canyon of Heroes, as literally there's thousands of people here. The confetti's being thrown out of the windows. I talked to fans of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. People came from South Africa. I spoke to people that woke up this morning and drove from North Carolina. The New York City Marching Band just came through. I'm following the whole parade. There's a lot of different floats that will be coming by, and the women's team is about to just cross the corner and start the parade route, which begins on Battery, goes down Broadway, and will eventually end at City Hall, where I will also be at for the ceremony that Mayor de Blasio and a lot of other officials will be at as well. But it's exciting. I've been here for about almost 2 hours now, and there's just a ton of people here. People have been lined up since this morning, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., And it's actually a pretty cool thing. Yeah, and you can hear in the background, the team is just about to turn the corner right now, the women's national team, which actually features four members, including Carly Lloyd, who scored a hat trick in the final game. Four members from New Jersey are on the women's national team, you know, ranging in ages from 22 to 27. And it's actually just a cool thing. They're about 25 feet away from me, and it will be getting louder any second now. There's a huge float in the beginning, in the front, the Powerade float, with a couple of the players up there, and then a giant bus behind it as the Canyon of Heroes parade begins with the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. This is also the first time that women will be honored since 1984. And here they come right there, Abby Wambach.
So, Guns, you hooking up with any of those pretty girls there?
Governor Cuomo's there in the front. He's in the front. He's surrounded by hot women right there. Many women.
Guns, you could probably get your first date. This is it. This is big. All right, Guns, you stand by at City Hall right now. My friend and colleague Rick Leventhal joins us from Fox News. So, Rick, what's going on there at City Hall? Give me a feeling of the buzz there.
It's a tremendous day. It's a beautiful day in New York City. A little hot, but we have thousands of people who have gathered in front of the City Hall set. Everyone wearing red, white, and blue. City Hall is adorned in red, white, and blue bunting and banners and flags everywhere. We had a great rendition of the national anthem from a member of New York's finest, a female police officer. And all these folks are watching us from big screens as the parade honoring the 2015 FIFA World Cup champion ladies of the USA. They're making their way up Broadway through the Canyon of Heroes. They'll wind their way through some of the cross streets and end up here at City Hall for speeches and celebration of this amazing and just dominating performance in the World Cup this year, Geraldo.
So this is the first time an all-women's team so honored, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, they have hosted more than 200 ticker tape parades in New York City over the past 130 years. There have been women honored in the past and individuals, including Amelia Earhart, but this is the first time that a women's team has received this confetti shower and this terrific honor of coming through, coming up Broadway and making their way through the city to the cheers of thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, Geraldo. There's a lot of people out lining around. We can only see some of them from our position here at City Hall, but a big crowd out here. People very excited to celebrate these women who, as you know, won on Sunday 5-2. They dominated Japan, a team that beat them in the World Cup final 4 years ago, the last time around in 2011. So this was sweet revenge for the ladies. And it's a terrific group of women being honored today.
And Rick, who are the crowd around you? I mean, what's the demo?
I mean, it is New York City at its best. You know, we have young, old, people of all colors. But today's colors are red, white, and blue.
Rick Leventhal at City Hall, thank you very much, mate. I'll see you back at the shop later. So, Guns, get some numbers, man. Get some numbers.
I need to get numbers. There's 40 tons of paper that the sanitation handed out. So when worst comes to worst, at least we don't have to clean that up afterwards. But it is there's women of all sorts. Here they are with their medals right here, the gold medal. They're on the sixth float coming by, all looking so hot. so hot. Oh, my God. I should have played soccer.
That's
Maybe
right.
Maybe I'll lie and say I'm a soccer player. But here they are, the women's national soccer team, starting right here at the Canyon of Heroes with the USA chair going by. They have their gold medals.
All right. Guns Gunselman, excellent reporting. Guns, have fun down there. Wish I was there. Thank you, mate. Bye-bye. It's going to get X-rated there with the Guns. Okay, now to your calls. Now back to the serious business of the day. We're talking about, among other things, the debate, the nationwide debate over U.S. immigration policy. Obviously, the emotions exacerbated by the recent fatal shooting of the California woman by the undocumented scum dog, Khan, who had already done 15 years for illegal reentry, among his other crimes. There's also, obviously, this whole debate being really ginned up in many ways by the incendiary remarks on immigration by my friend, the Republican presidential hopeful, Donald Trump, who has not, incidentally, if you notice, discounted the possibility that should he fail to win the Republican nomination, might go it an independent route the way Ross Perot did, to disastrous consequences from the Republican Party's point of view back in 1992 when Ross Perot drained votes from George H.W. Bush and allowed Bill Clinton to assume the presidency. The Democrats obviously would then take two turns before George W. narrowly defeated, if he did defeat, Al Gore. All right, your calls now on immigration, mostly, I hope, and on Trump. Why is he number one in the polls? We'll start in Sebastian in Peekskill. Hopefully the phone's working. What's up, Sebastian?
Yeah, how you doing, Geraldo? I was listening to you earlier, and I heard that there was only one instance that you know of. Well, have you heard about the one in Mount Kisco where the undocumented alien was killed by another undocumented alien where he's been back and forth through the border twice?
Right, I remember that. I never said that they only committed one murder. Oh, as far as I know, they committed 193 of the in the last year. 193 murders. If there are really, and this is, and I appreciate the call, Sebastian. I know there are other cases. Sure. I appreciate that. The 193 murders. This is what I talked about with Hannity. 193 murders is a few more than the murders New York City wide. But remember, there are far more undocumented immigrants in the country than there are residents of New York City. If there are 11 million, some say as high as 30 million. 193 murders in this population is terrible, but it's about half the murder rate that we have here in New York. Compare it to Baltimore, a city with only 600,000 people. It's about the same number of homicides. So if there's 20 million undocumented immigrants or 15 million, I don't know how many, and they committed 193 murders, that's terrible. But that's about 1/60th the murder rate of the city of Baltimore. That's my point. Every survey I have seen, the Washington Post confirming it just day before yesterday, that this population commits fewer crimes than citizens do. That's a fact. I mean, hate them for whatever reason, resent them, oppose amnesty or lenient treatment for them, demand that the border have stricter controls and be more impenetrable by this population. But please don't continue to repeat the same lie that this is causing an epidemic of crime and violence in this country. Just since this poor woman was killed in San Francisco, there have been 10 murders in Baltimore. Where's the rage on the issues that really are affecting us in a way that is scary, this wave of urban violence from the ghetto civil war going on? The undocumented immigrants are problematic in many areas, but they are not a brown tide of rapists and drug dealers and murderers, as some would have us believe. Now, Donald Trump has righteously tapped into some real indignation about this problem, the problem of the undocumented immigrants. Now, his challenge is to take this anger that has caused him to surge in the polls to number one and turn it into policy. You have people saying, I see Lindsey Graham right now, that Donald Trump, with his attitude toward Hispanic immigrants particularly, is going to destroy the Republican Party's chances of recapturing the White House next year. What do you think about that? 866-Geraldo? Greatest movie of all time, at least in my life. Lawrence of Arabia came out in 1962 after I had graduated from West Babylon High School. Had no idea what I wanted to do. Saw Lawrence of Arabia and I knew I wanted to travel, have adventures. Ended up spending so much time in pursuit of the romance depicted in the wonderful film starring Peter O'Toole in his debut and Omar Sharif, also in his debut, the Egyptian actor. who passed away at the age of 83, which is why we're reminding everyone about Lawrence of Arabia, this great film. He is best known for his performance there. Remember Sharif Ali? He was the young prince who helped the British lieutenant, T.E. Lawrence, played by Peter O'Toole, defeat the Turks in World War I. Omar Sharif also starring in Dr. Zhivago, another great film. But back to the issue of the day. How you doing? How you feeling? What's on your mind? In the Bronx, Pat's on the line. Thank you, Pat, for calling 866-Geraldo. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo, I know you've been to the border many times. I respect you for that. I know you're friends with Trump. I only wish I was. But I do have a suggestion. Why not go down to the border, do an investigative piece on what Trump is saying, either confirm it or rebuff it, and at the same time do a human interest piece and show, like, the world's dirtiest job, how the havoc and the toll it takes on these people's bodies, these poor Mexicans, and do a complete show on that. Be like an investigative.
It's a great idea. You know, I've done it many times. I've even crossed the border, you know, walked 45 miles through the Sonora-Mexico desert into Arizona with a group of undocumented. This was some years ago. But we were talking about actually bringing the radio show there. I think it's an excellent suggestion, Pat.
I'd be happy to come.
All right, brother. Thank you. And Trump is a wonderful guy. On a personal level, you can't find a nicer guy. When I lost, the night I lost, just tell you a quick story. The night I lost on Celebrity Apprentice, you notice he didn't say, Geraldo, you're fired. Rather, he said to Lisa Gibbons, who won, Lisa, you're hired. That was very gracious. And when Sol, my 10-year-old, was inconsolable, she was sobbing. She was in the audience with mom, with her mom, Erica, and other friends and family members. Trump could not have been more gracious, more hospitable. He put Sol in his big chair, the chair he uses in the set of Celebrity Apprentice, which I hope returns to him when this is all said and done, assuming he doesn't go on to this unexpected victory in this somewhat quixotic campaign for president. I told you, The Economist now has him number one over Jeb Bush, 15% for Trump, Jeb Bush 11%. Okay, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Is it the undocumented? What is it in New York City? Sarah's on the line. Thanks for calling us here at 77 WABC. What's up, Sarah?
Hi. So in answer to your question about the overreaction to this one crime, I think it parallels what some would say is the overreaction when a black person is killed by a white police officer, as compared to the extraordinary number of murders committed by other members of the community. So there is a sense, and I think the guest you had on, the activist from the neighborhood who said, yes, we have problems in our community, but we'll take care of that. So there is a sense, at least what I got from her, was that the white community should focus on what it does wrong, which is the white police, and not bother the black community. So when that happens, when that same attitude is taken toward undocumented immigrants, that if you notice their criminal behavior, you're being a racist, I think that's the outrage that Trump is expressing.
All right, Sarah, well said. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Still having fun's downtown guns.
Oh, my God. It is utter chaos down here. I'm running down Broadway right now towards City Hall, where they will have a ceremony for the women's basketball team. But they're on three different floats, the women are. They all look so hot. They've got their gold medals around their neck, and there are so many people here. Paper flying everywhere. I spoke to sanitation earlier. They said they handed out 40 tons of shredded paper, which clearly is being used as it's all over the place right now. But a lot of fun, and people of all ages and races and from all over the freaking world. So it's actually very fun.
And so were you surprised by the scope of the crowd?
Yeah. I didn't think this many people like women's soccer, of all things. But, you know, but I mean, it just shows the testament of, you know, how global, you know, sports or athletics are becoming, and also the fact that they had 22 million viewers for that final game when the U.S. beat Japan, which was more than Game 6 with LeBron James this past NBA Finals. So, I mean, 22 million people tuned in for to see women's soccer in that final game. So clearly it's a big deal. I mean, there are people everywhere here right now.
Irene Guns Gunzelman is covering the triumphant parade of the U.S. Woo! Women's soccer team downtown. He's picking up as many phone numbers as he can. Scavenge.
I've been doing push-ups all week just for this moment. So.
You should wear like a T-shirt or something that says who you are. You know.
Instead, I have a giant WABC radio shirt on.
All right. Well. Have fun down there, and WABC will carry the ceremony at City Hall at 1 o'clock. Guns, thanks. Have fun, bro. All right, let's get back to the main topic of the day. It's about Trump. It's about immigration. It's about the presidential poll that Trump is rocking now, leading Jeb Bush in terms of the national poll. He's in second place in the first three primary states. Number one in North Carolina, now number one nationwide, according to the Economist YouGov poll. Let's start with Bill in Whitestone. What's up, Bill? What are you thinking about?
Hey,
Geraldo,
how are you?
Good, man.
My wife has a theory. As a matter of fact, her name is Maria. She's a caller. Can she tell you her theory right now about Trump?
Sure.
It's an excellent theory.
Sure.
Go.
Hey, Geraldo, how are you?
Hi, sweetheart. You guys listen together? That's adorable.
Oh, yeah. You know, my theory about Trump, first of all, I don't think that he is serious about winning the nomination, because everything that he says is to attract attention to himself. And you're right, he is going to hurt the Republican Party, because the media is going to brand the entire Republican Party as racist and anti-immigration, like they normally do. Do you remember when he started this whole birth certificate thing about Obama?
Yes.
And almost toward the end, he was playing it out like he had seen things and he had found something, and he had nothing. It's all for attention. Now, I don't know if he actually wants to hurt the Republican Party. He might. He has voted Democrat in the past, and maybe this is just a ploy. I mean, what does he care? He doesn't care if he loses money. He's got all these billions of dollars, you know, as he says. Not that some of the things that he
says. So, Maria, how do you and Bill get along?
Oh, great.
How long have you been married?
21 years.
Oh, yeah? You can still stand him?
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to think the same. But that's my theory. I don't think he's serious. I think he's going to destroy the Republican Party, our chances of winning next year. And because, you know, the media will look for everything, and they will play all the things that he's saying, which is not against all immigrants. Is about the illegal immigration, but he has to choose his words better.
Much more carefully. I totally agree with you, and I appreciate the call, Maria and Bill, and I wish you 21 and 21 and 21 more years. Here's Daniel in New Jersey. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. Daniel, what's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. Well, basically, I just wanted to say, my opinion for what it's worth is I think people should be viewed as individuals, not so much as a race and whole, you know?
I agree.
The whole issue with immigration, I mean, I am all for border control. The law is there, the laws are good, and people should abide by the law. However, I don't think, like, people should be categorized as a whole, you know, but yet they should be viewed as individuals. And the reason I say that is, like, me as an example, I'm a father of two. If I see someone, I don't care if they're white, if they're black, if they're Hispanic, whatever, if they're dressed as a headbanger or whatever they're called, I'm going to cross the street. I'm not going to go by them. I don't care what race they are, you know? So then with that said, I think if people choose to put themselves as individuals into the cliche of, like, whatever that the race is, like, oh, because I'm black, I'm going to wear my pants down below my butt cheeks, or because I'm Spanish.
Well, you know how I feel about that. I think that that's just sets a person back. It's stereotypes of self-stereotyping. Doesn't
exactly
help anybody. But, Daniel, I appreciate the call. Smart call. Have a great weekend. Here's David from Central NJ. What's up, David?
Hi, Geraldo. Thanks for taking my call. I, at this point in my life, I don't believe that any candidate with less than the level of wealth of a Trump or a Bloomberg can, without fear, speak their mind. So for me as a voter, even if out of 10 things I strongly disagree with 5, at least I know those 5 things are going to remain the same, and the 5 things I agree with will remain the same. But any financial influence, they get there, and then there's changes that I couldn't predict.
Well, that's interesting that you say. You know, in the House of Lords, they always, the theory of the House of Lords, which is in the UK system. They have we have a House and a Senate. They have a House of Lords and a House of Commons. The theory with the House of Lords is that these people with property and wealth, they have no incentive to be corrupt and to take money, short money from lobbyists or special interests. I think that is an interesting thesis. And I also believe that you're correct, David, that Trump's wealth gives him an independence and an ability to speak his mind. The problem is sometimes when you speak your mind, you've got to be your own worst critic. You've got to say things that you mean. I believe that Trump meant that there are many, and many is a relative term, but there are enough unsavory characters crossing over the southern border and the northern border for that matter, crossing over that it deserves our attention. I don't think he meant to say that the Mexican race or ethnic group or national group was the problem, generally speaking. But once he said it, he should have apologized. Now he's going forward. Now, you know, what you don't want is, let's say he gets up to 25% of the Republican vote. And then, you know, they go for somebody more mainstream, safer, like Jeb Bush, Governor Jeb Bush, who I think will be the eventual nominee. Now, Jeb Bush is running. Jeb Bush, is he going to have the same impassioned support that a Donald Trump would have among that 25%? Will Jeb Bush be forced into a corner where he has to sound much more harsh and scornful of the immigrant population than he wants to be? Just to gen up that same kind of enthusiasm that clearly Trump has managed to tap. Here's Donna in the Bronx. Thanks for calling, Donna. What's up?
Thank you, Geraldo. I think this thing with the Trump's comments have been overblown. I do not believe that he meant every Hispanic or every Mexican. However, having said that, my question is, if he were given the nomination, let's say he made it, and he chose or asked Cruz or Rubio as a vice president, who do you think, would they turn that down?
I don't know, but that's a fascinating ticket.
Well,
Trump,
I mean,
on the top
both,
and Cruz,
you know,
or Rubio as in second
out.
Place. I think it's a great idea.
Okay, maybe somebody will call and ask, come in from their campaign.
Well, maybe they shall. Donna, maybe you give them an idea. I think that first he's got to win the nomination before he begins thinking about who he's going to pick for second place. I tell you what, let me pause it here. Let's go to Carmen in the Bronx. Hi, Carmen. Thanks for calling very much. What's up?
Hello, Geraldo.
How are you today?
Okay. Listen, when Mr. President Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the president, he's saying, we are going to make our country great again. Also, he say, include a pledge to restore the American dream. In his speech, he pledged he will fund Social Security, not cut it, renegotiate United States trade agreement. Okay? It's not only in
immigration. Carmen, let me ask you a question. Now you...
And I know him because one time I was in Manhattan and I saw that guy over there, tall guy, and he looked like a regular person when he passed like that. Like, I said, oh, my Lord, look at Donald Trump. And he walking like a simple guy.
So you don't think Donald hates Hispanics like us?
No, but you have to recognize that we need to fix a lot of things, okay? Because it's not fair that only a lot of persons doing the lines, me try to come here from very, very far places, coming here, doing his paper, pay his fees.
Okay, Carmen, I got it.
The country,
sweetheart,
to come here, like Haiti, Africa, a lot of places that have more poor people. Okay, because I saw that in PBS.
So you don't think he's a racist? You don't think Donald Trump is a bad man? You think he's a good man?
That need help and just and.
Okay, Carmen, I have to go, sweetheart. You're wonderful, though. And you very bravely stood up for Donald Trump, and I appreciate you, and thank you very much for calling. Mike in Queens. What's up, Mike?
Hello.
Hi, Mike. You're on. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo. Pleasure to speak with you.
Same here.
In terms of Trump, what translates into a good businessman, developer, negotiator does not translate into what's good for the country in terms of his ego and his stakes. Donald Trump's stakes at a failed negotiation would be a glass tower. Donald Trump's stakes at a failed negotiation could be globally disastrous because of his ego and just his DNA.
So you think he would be not responsible enough to be president?
I can't see him coming back to Washington having failed in a negotiation. He would up the stakes, in my opinion, and he's too aggressive, and he's not a statesman.
So you think that he would lose a negotiation and declare war?
Not necessarily declare war, but he would up the stakes by his lack of statesmanship and diplomacy.
All right, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend, Mike. I want everyone to have a great weekend. Hopefully the weather is going to be fabulous. Just really enjoy. Summer is going by so fast already. You know, it's so sad when the days start getting short again. So enjoy it now. Enjoy your families. Have a hot dog. Get some sun. See you later.